So I was on YouTube the other day, and there was a video on a parody of worship songs. And obviously, I can't show you the video, but I do want to play the songs for you. And some of them might seem a little familiar, but even if you don't know them, listen to the words.
I will sing of your love on Sundays. Only sing of your love on Sundays. I will sing of your love on Sundays. Then this feeling is gone by Monday.
Contemporary music than we have here at St. Luke's, but unfortunately, I think the sentiment can often be the same no matter what instrument is being played, whether it's guitar and keyboard and drums or organ. Too often, we focus simply on ourselves. We forget why we come together in worship. We forget the importance of the corporateness and the unity that God has called us to. And often we forget the point of the songs we actually sing. And it causes us to be awfully far away from the unity that Jesus is praying for his disciples that we hear in the gospel this last Sunday of Easter. Well, a while back, Avery and Marsh penned a musical parody about American Christendom that goes, I think, even a step further, sadly. And it's called, I Can Be a Christian by Myself. And the first verse goes like this. I can be a Christian by myself, leave my dusty Bible on the shelf. I'll sing a hymn and pray a bit. God can do the rest of it. My heart's the church, my head's the steeple. Shut the door and I'm the people. I can be a Christian by myself. And it goes on, and then some of the other verses include the lines, I'll break some bread and drink some wine, have myself a holy time. I'll take the offering, then I'll know where the money's gonna go. So please remember, Lord, when I die, give me my cloud in the sky. After this life with its labors, don't bug me with needy neighbors. And yet, as one commentator rightly states, one cannot be a Christian by themselves. Neither can a congregation exist by itself. We are dependent upon each other, and we are all dependent upon God. It is God who gives us to Jesus. It is God who is creating and perfecting our unity so we might be effective witnesses to the world. And yet I cannot tell you how many times that I've heard various excuses from people of why they're not part of a congregation, why they don't go to church, or why they don't get more involved. And they often go, well, my faith is private. It's between me and God. I can worship God better in nature than I can in a building. Or there are way too many hypocrites in church. There was a quote that I saw when I was doing research for this that said, you know, don't go to a perfect church, because as soon as you go there, it will no longer be perfect. And yet from creation, we are told that God made us to be in community. In Genesis, it said that God himself saw that it was not good for man to be alone. We were created not to be Lone Ranger Christians. And yet, if you think about it, the Lone Ranger was never alone either. Tonto was always there. But I think the part of the sense of not realizing our need for other Christians is wrapped up in our misunderstanding of what Jesus is truly talking about when he prays for unity. Now, obviously, the reading from the Gospel is awfully convoluted when we read it. You know, they be one, that you and I are one, and that you one, and that we be one, and I'm with him, and you're with me, and you just kind of glaze over and smile and nod and close the Bible. Yet the point is that Jesus is praying not only for the disciples, and not only for those that hear the disciples' message, but he's praying for us, and for those that will hear his message through us. So the question becomes, what message about God, about Jesus, do people hear from us? What are we saying through our actions? What are we saying through our words? What are we saying about the gospel through the way we treat one another here at St. Luke's? The way we treat other Christians within the National Episcopal Church? Or even how we treat other believers in other denominations that don't worship or act like us? How do we treat people that use guitar and drums in services? What kind of gospel do people see? What good news do they hear? Wesley, in his preface to the 1748 collection of hymns, states that holy solitaries is a phrase no more consistent with the gospel than holy adulterers. What he's saying is mainly that his desire to be right with God, to live out the grace he has bestowed upon us, is seen in how well we love others, how well we do community, how well we are one with other believers. Yet this is not unity for unity's sake. It's not about agreeing so we can be together without conflict. It's about caring deeply about the life and spiritual attitude of other believers, so much so that we are a witness to the non-Christian world. And we do that in order to draw others into God's kingdom so that they too can experience the unity, the love, the grace, the salvation that is freely offered. And once again, it goes back to the Abrahamic covenant of God. God made Abraham's descendants. Why? Not so they would just bless Abraham, but they would bless all the nations of the world. God desires not exclusivity, but inclusivity. That all would come to know. All would come to know and be in relationship with Him. All would be blessed through knowing Jesus. So one person explains, our unity in our community doesn't happen because we want it to, because we naturally like each other, or even are like each other in some ways. Jesus is not praying for uniformity. Rather, He prays for the fullness of interactivity among differently gifted people that only the Father, through the Spirit, can bring about. It's that kind of unity, and so that kind of community, that bears witness to the love and grace and the being of our triune God. As I've said to the vestry, and I've said to many of you, if we're just about perpetuating St. Luke's for St. Luke's sake, we might as well close the doors. Because we're just to become another secular organization that does good things. The purpose of St. Luke's needs to be about drawing people into this place so that they too can come face to face with the living Lord. So they too can meet Jesus. And we do that by learning to love each other. Loving the things we agree with, and especially loving the things we disagree with. Our unity is one of purpose. And the purpose is in showing the world that there is an answer to the violence, the hatred, the darkness, the immorality, the mess that the world seems to be in right now. And that answer is found here at the communion table. It's found in a relationship with Christ. That answer is what we proclaim when we proclaim that Jesus is risen and the kingdom of God is at hand. I want to end with a poem. And it goes like this. He drew a circle to shut me out, heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. We drew a circle that took him in. I pray that each of us who make up the church that is St. Luke's would draw a circle that would embody the oneness of the Father and the Son. That we would be one as they are one, so that Jesus' glory, His love for all humanity, would continue to shine from this place and be a witness to the world. Amen.